So this morning's sermon is entitled, The Best Optometrist. It comes from Colossians 3, 1 through 16. And so as I begin this morning, I want to have a quick prayer, and then I want to tell you a quick story before I read the Word. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and merciful God, we come to you this morning and we ask your blessings on the words that we will read out of Holy Scripture. We ask that this message be used to the nourishment of our spirit and to the betterment of our life as a Christian in serving you in the kingdom. Lord, we come to you now and we ask all this in our living Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So many years ago, many of you know him, and we have all befriended him and love him still to this day. He served this church as our pastor for years. His name was Joel Thornton. And one thing Joel always used to say, or I certainly remember him saying when he started out some of his messages, you know, when I write these messages and prepare sermons for you guys, I preach them to myself. And so as we in Bible study in our group, over the past course of the last 25, 26 weeks, we have been in the book of Acts and we have been studying the life of Apostle Paul. And one of the great things about this this book or this lesson in studying Acts, I was actually very concerned that we were switching gears out of 52 weeks with Jesus because we had such great discussion and great participation, and yet as we got into the book of Acts and learned about the beginning of the church and all those other things, especially the life of Paul and his journey and his ministry and who he was before he started to be the apostle, we have grown even more. And it's been a wonderful study. And so when I was preparing for this sermon, it was easy to go back to Paul's word. And so this morning in as we begin to read God's Word, I share this with you because I felt like and was called to tell you that, much like Joel, this sermon is not at you, it's with you. And so I preached it to myself before I share it with you this morning. So I speak from the heart and especially from the Word and the Gospel this morning. So let's go and see what Paul has written and what God is wanting us to hear. Beginning in chapter 3. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all of his glory. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world, but now it is time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become much like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in each one of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people, He loves you. You must clothe yourself within tender-hearted mercies. You must clothe yourself in kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Finally, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. This is our calling, and this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So again, the message is entitled, The Best Optometrist. Many of you already know, but I will share with you that Colossians is written by the Apostle Paul, the entire book. Paul never visited the church in Galatia. It was amazed me when I found that out as I prepared for this message. But that didn't stop Paul from confronting its distortion, its over-intellectualism, and its fixation on rules and ceremonies. One thing we've learned in the book of Acts is Paul doesn't move easily when someone steers him away from his focus on his mission and his purpose and his calling. Paul simply states in our text this morning the supremacy and uniqueness of Jesus Christ. He declares Him supreme and he tells you He is unique. I want to remind you that this book was written while Paul was incarcerated in Rome. Colossians is only 4 chapters long, and Paul begins in chapter 1 and defines the supremacy of God. In chapter 2, he warns us against false teachings and teachers. And finally, in 3 and 4, Paul shares with us what it is to live as a Christian, what we must do, and how we must carry ourselves. By the title, you should be able to delineate that this message is about our perspective as followers of Jesus Christ. In our reading this morning, we speak about living in our new life. The life is referring to this life that you and I now live as a believer. Some may read this and interpret it either a different way or perhaps even the wrong way. But rest assured, Paul isn't urging us to deny the harsh realities of life. In fact, he talks about them in Scripture. Paul, however, is urging us to be mindful of where our focus should be. When we focus on the world's view, we are blinded. Likely we are deaf. We can't see, nor can we hear, and most of the time, we may not even be able to move. When we focus our eyes on Jesus, however, we see matters of life that allows us to navigate this world we live in from a completely different perspective. When we are in this frame of mind and have this perspective, we find hope at every corner. Let me repeat that. When we focus on Jesus Christ, we find hope around every corner. Even when others can't see it, you and I and people like us can see it. It's our perspective. It's how we see things. But it's not just about our ability to see. It is about our ability to view it, dissect it, direct it in our life, and process what we actually are looking at. Not just the small things, but the big picture. And in those big pictures and around those corners, there is hope because we have faith. As Christians, we should view all things from an internal perspective. Sometimes we fail here. And if I must be candid, it's more than sometimes. Often than not, we actually fail here. What we face in our daily walk as a Christian, we see it from an outwardly or worldly perspective. We do not see it from an internal or eternal perspective like Paul teaches us. You see, when we focus On the world's view, again, we are blinded and thus in darkness. However, let me caution you, by no means do our struggles disappear just simply because we are faithful. We just see our struggles, we see our challenges in life from a different light. Or at least we should, as followers of Jesus. In doing so, this life through the eyes of the faithful and the believer no longer have the terrifying power it once did when we were blind because we didn't follow Christ. Focusing on Jesus equals victory over the world's obstacles. What Paul said this morning was the world will befall you obstacle after obstacle after obstacle. But when your focus is on Jesus Christ, you have victory over every single obstacle. Look, let's be candid, or as the kids may say, let's be real in this statement. As imperfect people, which we all are, we share in a common lot in life. No matter where we come from, no matter who we are, where we grew up, what state we grew up in, if we are not from this nation and we grew up in foreign soil, it doesn't matter who we are. We share one lot in life. Not only are we imperfect ourselves in many ways, we are born into a chaotic and imperfect world. When we are born, we're given a hand of cards and we must play them. And most of the time they're not dealt to you as a royal flush. Most of the time you can't even make a good hand out of them. Unfortunately, this is the life that we live. Again, not only are we imperfect, but we live in an imperfect world. Thus, this life that we have is filled with challenges and disappointments and lots of unanswered questions. But we must see the joy in all of that. The Moores have returned from vacation. One of my first questions to them this morning was, well, how was the water? Well, it was just like this, so cold they couldn't get in it. But they still had a good time. They still saw the joy. They looked for the good in the unexpected. We should all do that in our lives. Today, before we leave this place, we will ask God for His intervention somewhere and for something we already have in our prayers. Why? It's simple. We need Him. We have to have Him because He is the only perfect thing we know, and it takes perfection to correct imperfection. After all that, that's why God sent Jesus, isn't it? We were not going to make it, friends, on our own. We needed our Savior, and thus He came. As humans, it is natural in these imperfect circumstances for us to worry about the future. We do it all the time. You came here today. I came here this morning with a worry about tomorrow. It's natural. We always seem to be unsettled as we worry about things that we're trying to work out, especially for those that we love. We worry a lot. Especially parents and their children, grandparents and their grandchildren. We worry, dump trucks full of worry for our children and our grandchildren. Far too often we try, and in fact we struggle more than we care to admit, to make sense of a life based on a very narrow perspective that we have. You know, and I tried to build you an analogy here about a narrow perspective, but the only thing that really came to mind was it would be we see life sometimes through with such a narrow perspective, it would be like us trying to read and regurgitate back to those who needed to know a novel that was 1,000 pages and we yet only read 2 pages? How are we to share the knowledge of what's in that book if we've only read 2 pages or 3? Friends, a perspective that is limited in scope is only what we can see. And that's where we likely stop. Sometimes we force our perspective to be what we can see and what we can feel or perhaps touch, or yet even more, we try to rationally explain the issue or the circumstance. I tell friends all the time, it's very hard to rationalize irrationality. But that's looking through a narrow scope. That's exactly what we try to do each and every time. However, a large and more expansive perspective that we carry as Christians, we may not use it, but we should do it more often, is an internal and also an eternal perspective that teaches us that good can and frankly always does come from bad. You may challenge me on that statement, but it's true. We also learn that strength comes from weakness. And I know you're going to challenge me on this statement, but here it comes. And joy will be found on the other side of sorrow. As soon as we push through that sorrow, we can see the perspective of what we just faced. And thus, we as Christians and followers can see joy. Paul said in Scripture this morning, and here, he said this in Scripture this morning, and here it is kind of in layman's terms. As followers of Christ Jesus, you are called to overcome the life's obstacles that the world puts in front of you. You're called to do it. He's not saying, well, you can dodge it this time or just don't turn away from it. He's calling you to achieve the obstacle, to go over it. This is required of you and me because as followers of Christ, as Christ's disciples, it is necessary for us to do this in order for us to fulfill our purpose and His purpose, whom we serve. Every challenge we face here today and tomorrow and the next will prepare us for something much greater hereafter. We know it to be eternity. Look at it this way. Many of you may know her, many of you may not know her, but I don't know. If you lived in this community, grew up in this community, you know her. But I had a beloved biology teacher. Her name was Mrs. Reed. She wrote with her right hand and erased with her left hand. So guys like me, I won't even talk about Brian, guys like me, I couldn't keep up. I never made a note in her class because I couldn't keep up with her. But where Miss Reed was successful in teaching guys like Brian and me and those who were just not going to be biology majors and laboratory scientists, where she was successful was she loved a good lab. Because labs allow us practicality. It allows us to touch what we are learning. And friends, that's where you are today. In your Christian walk and in your education, the lives we lead today are laboratories. You see, they're laboratories for the eternal goal that we believe in. You know why? Because we learn here. We grow here. And yes, over time we become better. Even though we struggled in the beginning, this is where we have touch and feel. We experience love and all the great things that God promises in Holy Word. It is found here in life's laboratory. Much like our education was formed in Miss Reed's biology lab. But over time, we get wiser and we become more understanding. And as we age and mature in our faith, we learn that distressing questions that come to us are ultimately answered. We learn that. As we get older, we accept it because it happens. It's God's intervention because our perspective is focused on Him. Now, if you want an unanswered, distressing question not to go answered, turn your eyes on the world and not on God. We also learn if we're focused on Jesus, lies and injustices are eventually resolved. And what seems impossible actually becomes reality. If I look out through this crowd today, there are generations after generations here. If my grandfather were here, he would have told you in 1938, when my mom was born, he would have told you in 1938 they were basically living in a one-room house. If you'd have told him a man was going to walk on the moon and he was going to fly there by a man-made craft, he'd have told you you were crazy. What looked to be to him at that very moment an impossibility became a reality. Remember, I told you that Paul was incarcerated when he wrote the book of Colossians. But what I didn't tell you was he was incarcerated, but he was also half beaten to death. The man couldn't even stomach enough energy likely to be able to set up on whatever bed, makeshift bed they had. He was beaten within an inch of his life and incarcerated in a jail in Rome. And I don't know what jails look like then. They can be pretty bad today. Can you imagine what he saw and where he was? But yet he had the perspective to write the book of Colossians. As believers, we have hope, and in that hope comes the assurance of good things to come. If Paul can have that perspective, half beaten to death and incarcerated in a jail in Rome hundreds and hundreds of years ago, there is no reason that you and I cannot have that same focus and that same perspective today in all of our blessings that we enjoy right here. Because one thing, unlike Paul, that you have the ability to share today is your freedom. And he was enslaved. Friends, serving Christ is hard, but absolutely doable. And those who serve never, ever cower to fear or let go of their hope. Paul didn't, and we don't. Your perspective is always through the lens of your faith, never through the lens of the world. You know I love a good story, so I'm going to close this message with a story and a quote. Listen to the story of the fisherman. Once a fisherman was sitting near a seashore under the shadow of a tree. Suddenly a rich businessman passing by approached him and inquired as to why he was sitting under a tree and not working. To this, poor fisherman then replied that he had caught enough fish for the day and he was taking it easy. Hearing this, the rich man got extremely angry and said to the fisherman, "Why don't you catch more fish instead of sitting in a shadow wasting your time?" Fisherman asked, "Well, what would it serve me by catching more fish? What would I do with them?" The businessman said, "Well, you could catch more fish. I mean, it's easy to understand. Sell them and earn more money and buy a bigger boat." The fisherman said, "Well, what would I do then?" The businessman said, "Well, you could go fishing in deep waters and catch even more fish and earn even more money." And the fisherman acknowledged and said, "Well, what would I do then?" The businessman said, "Well, you could buy more boats and employ more people, catch more fish, work harder, and make more money on top of money." And the fisherman said, "Well, what would I do then?" The businessman then said, "Well, you could become rich and be like a businessman like me. Look at me." And the fisherman said, "Well, what would I do then?" And the businessman said, "Well, then you could enjoy your life and have peace." And the fisherman looked at him and said, "Really? Well, what do you think I'm doing right now?" It's about our perspective. Friends, it's all about our perspective. If you see this different, then you need to change your optometrist. You see, for your attending and going to appointments with the world, and you're blinded. For the believer, we make daily appointments, weekly appointments with the best optometrist. You see, we're here this morning in worship. This coming week, we will socialize together at Bible study and share in the Word and also share in refreshment and nourishment with each other. This morning, we are doing the same together. We do this every day because we make our appointments with the best optometrist. Thus, we should never be out of focus. Let me leave you with this quote from Oscar Wilde. Now, I love this quote simply because as a public servant under the badge, my entire career, I was accused of eating lots of these. And I have eaten my share, don't get me wrong. But I haven't eaten as many as you think I have, even though my physique may say otherwise. But listen to this quote. And here's your takeaway. The optimist sees the donut. The pessimist sees the hole. Now I know that we manufacture donut holes. I get it. But for the purpose of this message, the optimist sees the donut and the pessimist sees the hole. Today, if you're looking at the hole, make an appointment with Jesus Christ because you're missing the purpose and the calling of your life, and you're seeing it all through the wrong perspective. You see, because the optimist, the believer in the life, and the circle of life that a donut may represent today, if you're looking at the whole, you miss the nourishment. You miss the sweetness. You miss all the great things that come from taking part. And thus, you miss the picture. Friends, it's our perspective that keeps us in faith. It's our perspective that keeps us in step. Don't miss out. Don't be focused so much on the world, you miss all the glory in Jesus Christ. Amen.